You are listening to Through the Funnel, where we demystify classical Chinese medicine and reveal how Eastern and Western medicine work together in health and healing. I'm your host, Mallory Jaimo, and this is episode 17. Welcome. Today, I am bringing back Travis to discuss Chinese medicine facial reading. You guys have loved his past episodes. So we're going to dive into the five elements. Today, we're going to go with the metal element. And just a reminder for everybody, Travis is an expert in Chinese medicine facial reading. He is located in Los Angeles, and he's going to have his website available soon so that you can connect with him if you want to do a distance or local private reading. Travis, where do we begin? Thank you for being here.
So good to see you. Yeah, I'm so glad that you got positive reviews on the videos that we've done before. They're fun for me.
They love it. And I'm excited that you're here again so that we can really start to narrow in on some of the five elements that everybody's familiar with. We're going into fall. I thought that it would be perfect to start with the metal element. I have some metal in me. You have some metal in you. So tell us what it's like to be a metal person.
Yeah, I just have to say fall is one of my favorite times of year. And I think that's like actually one of the funnier things about Chinese medicine. Whatever season you don't really like, there's sometimes an imbalance there. And I just have to say, fall, especially September, most beautiful sunsets. It's really like the epitome. Yeah. There's so much to say, but metal and the five elements. So I'm going to go a little bit backwards first, because the way I was taught about the five elements was different. In school, you kind of learn them as these, you know, the phases and there's like all these kind of aspects for the organs and stuff like that. But it's really applied for medicine. And when I learned from Lillian Bridges, she was so fantastic and she was such an amazing teacher. She's like, I'm going to teach it to you a little bit differently because my family has been doing this since the Ming Dynasty, like over like, I think like 500 years or something crazy about that. So she would say these, the five elements, and she liked the word element. I know if you're a scholar, that's like not the right word, but she's like, they are the elements of life, you know, so it's like use whatever you want. So phases, elements, whatever you want to call it. She said, these are the five vibrational families. Everything in life can be broken down into these five phases. So in school, we just really learned it about the body and health. But she would actually say this shows up in personality. Lillian would joke and say she could do the five elements of toilets. And she because everything could be broken down. And she was such a five element expert. And so is Kelly Harrington. She was the, I think he's like, director.
Disciple, yeah.
Her and Deirdre actually teach too, and they're fantastic as well. But when it comes to metal, all the five elements, they feed into each other, right? So it's like wood support, wood helps the fire burn. Fire actually makes the earth more rich. Earth like has the deepest part of it has the metal. But the one that was always confusing is how metal feeds into water. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's like you hear all the different theories, but the way I was taught it is that metal is like the Gemini of the elements. It's androgynous. It can be two things at once, and it's really symbolized by the Chinese coin. It's circle on the outside, it's square on the inside. There's like that solid aspect of it with the air in the middle. It's gold and it's silver. It has like duality to it. So metal is really interesting because there's so many contrasts with it. And when you're looking at the way metal supports water, metal can be liquefied, right? And it can be like melted down into make like this kind of liquid substance. But also too, if you've ever been somewhere it's really cold and you like have the pipes outside, if you wake up in the morning, you'll see actually that the metal attracts all the water on the pipes. But the way Lillian taught me, she said metal is solid, but it's also air. So all celestial events, all things in the sky and clouds are air. And when they condense, they make rain. And that's actually how metal supports water. Mm-hmm. So that was really a light bulb moment for me because she'd always say wind is the wood element, right? But air is metal and they're different. So if you actually are a metal person or if you're a little bit deficient in that Chinese concept of Ling, you know, you need to look at the sky, you need to look at the sunsets, you need to see all these kind of beautiful things because metal is the element. It's the fall season, right? With metal, everything's contracting and it's starting to die, getting ready for the winter, right? In that fall season, but it's so beautiful when it happens. It's like you see the gorgeous sunsets, you see the coloring of the leaves changing as they're starting to fall. Everything gets really beautiful. And actually, I love the fruits in the fall season because I like the red dates. and that's only available down here for like a week or two. Like, you have to go quick to the farmers markets. But with the metal element, metal's really fed by beauty. And so if you're a metal person, the joke is that they're self-maintaining, but they're high maintenance. So it's just like you actually, because metal's the sensitive element and the lungs are the delicate organ in Chinese medicine. And it's because they're the ones that sent, like, I never understood that until someone said to me, I forgot who it was. I think it was a teacher in acupuncture school. But they said, well, like, the lungs are what sense all atmospheric pressure and changes. And your lungs feel it first before like your body recognize it. And that's why they're the delicate organ. And metal's very that. Like, metal is the one that is sensitive. So if you are a metallic person, we'll go into the facial features in a little bit. But you're really like, you need really high quality stuff. And here's one of the ways you know you're metal. It's actually quite funny. If you go into a clothing store and you're looking around and you find something that you like and you grab it, and it actually you look at the price tag and it's the most expensive thing in the store. And it's just because metal needs really high quality. They're very sensitive because like wool and things like that, they're scratchy on their skin. They don't like it. And it's like if you're someone that can't wear like any like costume jewelry or stuff like that because it changes your skin color. It's like you're metallic. You have that hypersensitivity to things. And Lillian would always say, there's no such thing as being too sensitive. You're either sensitive or you're not. And metal people are sensitive because the lungs are so delicate. So if you have strength in that organ, you'll have more of these qualities. So with metal people, it's like they have all the food sensitivities. And that's why the joke is they're self-maintaining, but they're high maintenance. Where it's just like they know that they can't eat foods at restaurants because they're going to have that gluten sensitivity. They can't do the soy, they can't do the seed oils or whatever it is. So they look at the menu beforehand so they know what they can eat because they don't want to be difficult. They don't want to tell you what they need, but they know what they need, and it's so much work. They're really gracious, they're really refined. They can be a little bit critical, but it's not because they're trying to be difficult, but it's because they actually need certain things. Their level of bandwidth is a little bit lower than other people's, where they can't take as much stimulation. But also, too, they actually are really good at details because they kind of see all the little things. So it's like, one of the jokes is like, 'cause my mom was really metallic. She would kind of show her love through criticism. And I remember Lillian said to me one time, she goes, sometimes when people really criticize you, it's because they love you. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so loved. She goes, honey, why does your hair look like that? It looked better the other way. Or, oh wow, like you look tired today. Like, and she meant well, but it's like she could pick up on all those little details. And, growing up, I was like, why is she being so difficult? Like, why is she being so critical to me? But it was because she,
Opinionated.
right. And it's because they see all the little details because they're really in tune to all that stuff. They're sensitive. So they really like well-made materials. They need high quality stuff. So it's like if you have that really like those really nice bed sheets, if you have like, really nice clothes, they're the people that show up with not a single wrinkle in anything that they're wearing. That's a sign of being metallic, right? They always look very polished and well presented. You're like this, Mallory.
Yeah, I'm looking at your shirt. Like, that is a crisp, nice shirt that you have on. Very
Thanks.
well
I didn't
maintained, good
iron it,
fibers.
okay? I wasn't so metallic today. I was just trying to just show up. But they love deals because the thing about metal, they're very precise. It's about precision. It's the element of perfectionism. But it takes a lot of effort. So it's like one of the things I was taught is that if you can wrap your fingers around your wrist in their space, or like around your ankles, like in the fingers can overlap, you have little bones. So you can't work so hard. Water has the really big, dense bones. They can work really hard, and wood people just love to work. But metal people, they want to execute. They want to do things well. And that's why they'll do it really well once, but they can't do it again because it takes so much energy. Because it's so hard for them to work physically, like deals. So they love luxury things, but they don't want to spend luxury prices. Wood people say, I spent the most money on this. This is how much it costs. They're the ones that love to tell you how much they spent on their car or their clothes or whatever. Metal people don't care about any of the brands. They just want high quality, but they want a deal for it because it's so hard for them to work so hard. They need lots of breaks. And when it was so funny, when I learned about this, I was like, oh my God, I'm metallic. Like, I really like, I like to work hard because we all have all five elements. So it's figuring out what is your balance and what things are prominent and what things you need to work on. When I realized I was so metallic, I would work in this wood way because I was raised that way. The Western world goes that way. It's like you start at 7, you end at 9, and you're proud of it. And it's like you get that pride thing of like, I worked 7 days a week. I saw 10 patients today. It's like all that stuff, right? And that exhausts metal people. They need lots of breaks because it's so easy for them to overwork themselves because they're delicate and they're more mental than they are physical. So they like to think. And a lot, all the elements can be spiritual, but metal is one of the ones because they're so sensitive to everything. They can sense more of what's going on. They're more aware of that internal landscape. They're more aware of what foods are going to aggravate them. They're more aware of they're the ones that can feel that like 5G EMF stuff. You know, they're the ones that can get the EMF poisoning. They're the ones that actually, like, you know, they can really smell the mold in the air. I did a face reading for someone a while ago. And he would go into, like, he had this really dark spot on his cheek. And I was like, oh, like, what's going on with your lungs? He's like, well, I don't know. And then finally, like, I pulled it out of him. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, I have mold toxicity. He's like, I can go into a building and I can smell it and I'll get instantly sick. And it was so interesting because they have this sensitivity and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, but when you know that about yourself, you realize I can't do the things other people do. I have to do things differently. And it's really about learning to live within the boundaries of your existence, learning what you can do and what you can't. Because metal doesn't want to be difficult. They don't want to be they don't want to be a burden to anyone. So they won't say anything, but they'll suffer in silence. And it's just like they feel it, they feel it, they feel it. Like, you ever been like that? Like, you go to a party or something and you're like, oh my God, I can't be social anymore. I can't do anything. The food here I can't eat, but I don't want to be difficult. We have to say hi. We have to chat with everyone. We can't leave too early. It's like they'll kind of suffer like in silence because they don't want to be rude.
Yeah, I find it interesting. A lot of what you're talking about, you're sharing the more than and less than aspects that we work with in Chinese medicine. And a lot of people are familiar with the excesses and the deficiencies. And so when I work with patients who have lung issues, chronic cough, lots of phlegm, congestion, nasal congestion, drippy nose, even large intestine issues, bowel issues, and then they start to get better. I see these qualities that you're talking about increase. I see them come in with, different clothes on or a new piece of jewelry, looking more like you're saying, refined in a way that they weren't able to tap into in that other space that they were in where their physical body was really needing the help and the assistance. And then I'll see the opposite, when people are really in excess with their lungs and their lungs are overworking and their chest is really puffed out and they're doing a lot and overexpending themselves and come in with, all this glitz and glamour. And then we start to downregulate the nervous system, take the pressure off of the lungs, allow the body to really fully expand in the breath and take in the air. I see this kind of softness that happens with them. And the lungs connect with the kidneys, as you're saying, and the kidneys are relative to the water element, which is just about how we flow through the world and how we ride the current of the life that we're living. And I see them tap into that innate ability to soften and simply be with these other elements that we've referenced. So I want to encourage people that when they hear relatable terms and traits and even features that you're going to talk about, a lot of times we're like, oh no, how do I fix that? It's like, that's working for you. And how can we soften those things or bring in some of the other elements to help complement or take off the pressure from that particular element? So just because we are one way doesn't necessarily mean that we don't have the ability to nurture and take care of ourselves in the other way that we're needed to.
Yeah, that's actually such a good point because one of the things I'll tell you, if you have a metal imbalance, okay, metal is fed by beauty. And that was one of the weird things that I was taught. And like, if you're really metallic, if you go, like, you're the person that, like, you can't focus at your desk when you see the mess in the house, you know, it's like you, like, when you're in a space that's dirty or like that's really kind of like not neat and orderly, because metal is all about order, which is different than, structure, like that's more wood. And so, like, if there's not order in the place and you're not in this clean, beautiful environment, you actually get stressed out because metal's fed by beauty. They need to be in these environments that feel beautiful and they feel safe. And if you get really easily overstimulated because you've been working too much in a wood way or like you've been doing too many things and your body's starting to give out, it's almost like you need to cocoon yourself into this like little sanctuary that you call your own where you can be alone and you can recharge and you can actually just be like, ah, life is not so hard. And so it's like people need this so bad. And it's so funny. If you have this quality, you need it more than other people. And you'll be like, what's wrong with me? Why am I so sensitive? Why am I so burnt out? Why am I getting so edgy? Because when metal's out of balance, that's when the critical aspect comes out because you're starting to actually like nitpick all the details because you're just so overstimulated. They really need to be in these like safe spaces and safe environments and feel like everything's clean and everything's beautiful and everything's nice. They need to be fed by beauty. So when they're in ugly environments, it actually stresses them out. Or if they're in a messy workplace, it stresses them out. And it's so funny because I'll talk to people and they'll say, "Oh my God, we stayed at this hotel and there was just like dirt on the floor," and like, you know, all the little things that some people don't care about, right?
The details.
Yeah, like all the little details, because they're good with details. And they're like, "It stressed me out. The sheets were just so scratchy, and actually it ruined their whole experience." Or they're like, they can't focus at all until their house is clean and looks immaculate and perfect. And they're the ones that actually are like polishing the silverware, or like they're the ones that are like, you know, like dusting everything and like really cleaning all the crevices, because they want everything to look beautiful. And when that happens, they're like, "Ah, I can breathe now. Life is good. I feel safe." So it's like if there's too much chaos, it actually really stresses them out. So they need these places because their nervous systems are more overactive. They can actually feel like everything's safe and they can actually have order in their life. And then they can handle everything. Because metal's like bone china. It's really strong and durable, but like you have to hand wash it, because if you drop it, it'll break. But there's an aspect, they're really strong, they're really tough. They like d don't get me wrong, like they do have sensitivities, and that's that duality thing, but they are so tough and they can really have a lot of follow through and execution, but they need to be handled delicately. And the way you know you're a metal person is if you actually also need a lot of breaks. And I actually didn't realize this about myself, because like I'll work for a while, I'll take a break. I'll work for a while, I'll take a break. And when I have to work all day long, or it's like if you have days in the clinic where you just like you didn't have time for lunch, and like, you know, you had an earlier person than you thought, and you've been working nonstop, you come home and you're like, "I can't think." You're driving in the car, you turn all the music off because you're just so overstimulated. So they need little breaks.
I'm a metal person as well, and I relate so much to a lot of what you're saying and getting into the refining of being the metal element and finding aspects to help it work for me is what has been so important. And part of that process of learning is engaging with myself, learning about yourself and how you want to move throughout your day. And one of the things that you mentioned was your patient who can sense and is very sensitive to mold. And one of the facial features that's associated with the metal element is the nose. And we all have different noses. We all have different characteristics of our nose. Will you talk a little bit about how the nose is specific to the metal element and how people with the metal type can see their nose if it's a metal nose?
Yeah, sure. One of the things Lillian learned from her uncle was that facial features actually like adapted and evolved over time. And so like if you have a longer nose, you are a little bit more metallic, and that's actually why the nose is associated with ego. Because you can't, your ancestors, which is interesting, because I'm curious to see maybe if people from the Middle East, where it's really hot, maybe they came from somewhere else originally. I don't know. But if you have a longer nose, generally you come from a colder climate because you need to heat up the air more. And there's this actually like ego thing that kind of happens, where it's like, "I have to live, I have to survive," because you're used to living in these harsh environments that are so cold. So the air warms up. So if you have that longer nose, it's a sign of more metal features. If you came from like a tropical climate, they tend to have shorter noses. And it's because the air is really warm already. It doesn't need to travel. It doesn't need to be heated up. Because if you've ever been somewhere it's really cold and you go outside and you breathe in the air too quickly, it like burns your lungs. So the air actually needs to warm up, and like you're nodding because it's cold where you are. But it's really interesting. So yeah, the nose actually is really associated with that. And same thing with the cheekbones. And that's actually why too, if you have those really strong cheekbones, you tend to, the saying in Chinese is that you tend to have more authority. But I think too, because there's more space for there's more space to actually like, you know, allow the voice to boom and to be like louder and project yourself more. So these are really associated with it. But the nose in particular is associated with the lungs, as all facial features have a correlating organ, and the nose makes sense, right? It goes right to the lungs. So it's like when you have that longer nose, you actually do have a sign of more of the metallic traits. You have more ambition, which is a metal trait, different than drive, which is wood. You'll see that more in the eyebrows and the jaw. And you'll have, it's more of like a personal ambition, where it's like you want to achieve things for yourself. You want to do things on your own terms. You don't care about being the best. You want to do your best. You want to do the best that you can do, and you don't really care if other people say you're doing a good job. You want to feel that you're doing a good job. And it's so funny. I have this trait. People, like, sometimes when I teach classes, I'm like, I didn't do good enough. Like, I should have prepared more. I should have done all these things. And people will say, you did such a great job. I'm like, but I know that there was things I should have done to prep for that class more. So it's that funny thing, right? So it's like the nose actually is really tied to ambition. It's tied to the metal element. It's tied to ego too. And it's tied to the po, is that how you say it? Po? P-O? It's like the Po, which is like the corporeal soul. It's the integrity of a person, and it's also like the physical capacity of them. So there's this aspect too with the nose that actually shows how much you're in alignment with your integrity and your values, which is really interesting. And that's kind of one of the more energetic aspects of it. So the longer, straighter the nose, the more someone is going to have really strong ideals and values about how things should be. And they might not be right or wrong, but they're their ideals and their values, and they want to uphold those and live to those.
Yeah, and for people who aren't watching on video, Travis is talking about like the bridge of the nose. He's going to get into the nostrils too, but the bridge leading up, because you can have
The whole
the
nose.
whole nose, yeah, from what, between the eyebrows down to like the tip of the nose.
It's the length of the nose. So if you have a long nose and there's the science of face reading, right? This means this, that means that. And then there's the art of it, where it's just like, well, how big is that? And the way I was taught is that you have to actually compare it to the rest of the features. It's very subjective. You have to see, is that feature standing out or is it jumping out? And like the easiest way is like what jumps out at you first when you see someone.
Yeah, tell us about the nostrils.
So interestingly enough, I forgot what chapter it is, and I should have looked it up before this, but in the Nei Ching, the Yellow Emperor's inner canon, there's this chapter that talks about the face. And it was so interesting because this made me understand nostrils more. Because there's this chapter that says, if someone, it's really like, it's old school, right? So it's kind of like severe. But there's this chapter that says, if someone has sunken cheeks and dark eyes and really flared nostrils, it's a sign they'll die. And I thought that was so interesting. And I was like, oh my God, like that's fascinating because that ties in with all the aspects I learned with face reading. But when you're reading that chapter, you're like, why are they saying that? And that's the thing with old texts, right? Like ancient texts, you actually need to know the perspective where it comes from. And it's really valuable to have a teacher, which I'm so grateful for. The thing I was taught about nostrils is that the nose is the piggy bank of the face. And this is the time, money, and energy thing. So the saying in Chinese is that time, money, and energy are all the same energetic. And so when you use your time and your energy to make money, and when I was in massage school, I was taught that, like, look at all your clients as a bill, because all clients are like that's your electricity bill, that's your water bill, that's your phone bill, which is like not really a good way to look at people. But it was so interesting because that was the first time I was taught this. And then I was like, why are they saying that? That doesn't make sense to me. And then when I learned time, money, and energy are all the same thing, you use your time and your energy to have the universal currency that is money. And I was like, okay, this makes sense. So when you look at the nostrils show how much energy, time, or money you'll spend. And it's so funny because the way we were taught some weird things in face reading, where it's just like, if you want to see what's normal, put the edge of your pinky in your nose. Do it in private so people don't think you're picking your nose.
Oh, I'm
But
gonna do it right now.
if it's snug,
Yeah,
that
it
means, okay,
fits.
cool, you'll spend about as much as you have. Okay, cool. And like you can conserve a little bit, but if it's really wide and you have those really flared nostrils, you can spend more than you have. So the larger the nostrils, the more people can spend their energy, their time, their money. And it's so interesting. I can't tell you, I've met so many people that actually have the really large nostrils and they will spend huge amounts of money or time or energy on things that might actually burn them out later. So it's actually age to see, is someone overexerting themselves? Are they overspending? Are they managing their time poorly? And one of the things, I'm sorry to say, I've worked really hard on this when I learned this. If you don't manage your time well, you're probably not managing your energy or your money really well either. Energy, sure, money's probably the same. And when I learned that, I was like, oh my God, I need to be earlier to things. I can't be late anymore because that's a sign I'm not managing my energy well. And it was so true. Because there'd be all these times it's just like I'd be late for things and it'd throw off my day, and then I'm burnt out because I'm stressing about it. And then also too, like I didn't pack my lunch, so I have to spend money on lunch, like all of the things, right? So the nostrils will actually show how much of that you're spending. So if they're really wide, don't worry, you might be ambitious, especially if you have the flared nostrils. You can spend a lot at once and you won't be afraid to. If they're really tight, sometimes it almost scares you to spend too much because you know that you have to like recover from it. That's what I was taught, and I thought that was so interesting, and I've seen it to be very true. And it's funny because I went out to dinner with some friends the other night, and one of our friends actually was like, let me buy you dinner. And he had these really wide nostrils. He's like, let me spend it for you. That's fine. He had no problem doing it. Could he afford it? I don't really know. But he was really happy to do it. He was happy to exert that. And I just thought that was hilarious. Versus it's funny. Not that there's anything wrong with this. I'm happy to pay for my own meals. But I've been with people that have the really tight nostrils too. And they're like, okay, the bill comes. Okay, we're gonna Venmo, right? Okay, cool. Like to the cent. And it's so funny. And like, I don't care what people do. That's fine. Like, I'm happy to pay for my own meals. But it was just so interesting for me to see that actually show up because of the knot.
So let me ask you, are the nostrils going to change when we are spending our energy, time, money differently than what our body wants to be doing, than what our spirit wants to be doing, than what the metal element with us wants to be doing? So I'm really feeling good and we're high charged. Does that mean like our nostrils are naturally gonna widen out? And if we put our pinky in there, we're gonna find that we have a little bit more room? Or are they pretty much gonna stay in relationship to us as we relate to the metal element?
Yeah, that's a really good question. The face does change all the time. Eyebrows change really fast. I think eyes change the fastest. This one takes a little bit longer to change. And the way I was taught is that if you have really firm alae, number one, if especially if you can see the groove, you have a better sense of smell. So like you can smell things a little bit easier. You can smell things different. You're more sensitive to smells. But number two, if it's really firm, that actually means you can cut off the spending. And it's interesting because my friend, he's my childhood friend. I've known him forever, and he's seen me learn all the weird things and go into the Chinese medicine path and all that stuff. And I was telling him about this, and he's just like, he goes to his wife and he's like, you have spendy nostrils, honey. And that was so funny. And I was like, tell people that. That's so hilarious. Because they were in the time where they were getting ready for a baby and they were buying all the stuff and like they just moved houses and all these different things, and she was spending so much money. And then after that, like because they sold their house to get more financially secure, and they started really budgeting. They stopped eating on, I think they have Grubhub up there. It's the one that they use. They stopped eating out on foods, and they started doing things at home to really save money because they unexpectedly had twins. And it was, he calls me, he goes, the weirdest thing has happened. He's like, I don't know what you've done to my brain, but my wife's nostrils have gotten smaller. And I was just like, oh, that's really fascinating. That's cool. He's like, yeah. He's like, she doesn't have spendy nostrils anymore.
I mean, what a blessing that you did for them, but also how cool to like be able to help your friend transition to a really important time in his life just by the tiniest thing that you shared with him. I mean, that helps relationships too, you know?
You're so kind. You know, you're giving me way more credit than like I deserve. We were just having a conversation
I
between
think
friends, and I
he's
was like, oh,
grateful
you're gonna
too.
come. Yeah. And he's just like, oh my God, I see it now all the time. And like he does real estate, and it's just so funny because he'll call me every once in a while. He'll be like, I'll tell you, people that have, because he calls them spendy nostrils, which I think is hilarious. But he's just like, people with the spendy nostrils, they always go over budget. Which I thought was hysterical. So it's like he'll use it sometimes like in his business. But yeah, it can change to answer your question. And it's funny because I have a family member who has really, really wide nostrils. And you have to kind of think of it as the faucet. So it's just like, you know, like how tight is the faucet? Are you losing too much water? Are you losing too much jing and qi? I have a family member with these really wide nostrils. And it's so funny. I took a picture of her because she's like, my nostrils are so big. I can see two fingers in there. And I have a picture of her with them, like timing, and she hates it. I won't show it to anyone, but I just thought it was hysterical. But she kept blowing out her knees and her low back. And she's like living on credit card debt. And she's really ambitious. She makes good money, but she spends more than she has. She kept blowing at her knees and she kept getting all these injuries. And I was like, and the low back stuff. And I was like, oh my God, like that's kidney deficiency. Like you're really like over pushing your body. And she's very generous. She's very earthy. She wants to give to everyone. And sometimes she'll go and buy all these little gifts for people. And like, just, it's the little things that add up, and she's giving too much time, money, energy away. And it's starting to actually make her body give out. And so I've really talked to her on this one, and it hasn't changed too much, to be honest with you, because it's actually a trait. It's a personality trait that for people that like to give, it's like they almost don't know what to do if they can't do that. So for her, really tried to like work with her on that. And you know, she's my family member and I'm not going to tell her how to live her life. That's so wonderful. She's so generous. But if you're doing it at the expense of your own health, that's a problem. And so now she's gotten more mindful of it, but, and they've changed some, but not too much, because it's a really ingrained pattern about how you spend. And you know, food and money, like those are two things that people have a really emotional connection to, and they really can't fathom the idea of that changing sometimes. Like food, like when it comes to food, it's like that's the hardest thing to treat. And I think Burhoff in his intro to Sabine Wilm's book 12 Characters, you know, the one on the five element virtue healing, it's a great book. But he writes this intro and he goes, you know, the hardest thing in Chinese medicine is to treat the heart, because the heart, it's really easy to change the diet, right? Like, you know, it's just like just eat this, not that. It's the emotional component that people have connected to the way that they spend or the way that they eat. So it's actually you're working with the heart instead. How do I change this aspect? How do I connect with people if I don't give to them? How do I feel whatever I want to feel if I don't eat these foods that give me comfort? So with the nostrils, listen, if you know how to like tighten the belt straps and you took some classes on finances and things like that, that's really helpful for you. You can probably fix that. But if it's not a money thing, it might be like you might be spending too much energy. You might be working out 6 days a week when your body really doesn't want to do that. Because by the way, if you're metal, which I am, it's like you want to do all the things, because I live in LA, there's such a fitness culture here. And it's just like I've really learned that like if I work in the clinic, which is physical labor, and then I try to go work out, my body can't handle it. And I watch my nostrils wander. And it's just so funny. I'm like, okay, I've done too much. And I have to work with my mentality of saying, okay, this is what I can do today. This is what I can do. And that's just ingrained in who I am. So like learning how to work with that has been a challenge.
Yeah, and to state the obvious here, because I know people are already familiar with some of the previous episodes, I'll find, especially moving into the fall season, that metal season, that people's lung pulse gets weak. And that's going to be the position found on the right side, the radial artery, and it's going to be the first position. And I'll ask them, how was your summer? And they'll be like, oh my gosh, it was so busy. I just got all these kids off to school. We were doing all these things. And all that creates constriction in the chest. And I'll simply say to them, do you feel like you've been breathing? No. That's why I'm here. I feel like I can finally like let go of my constraint, my breath, and allow my lungs to move. You know, this is things that people are saying that they're very much aware of. And what you're talking about, taking oxygen in through the nose, letting the lungs expand, you know, really feeling yourself in your environment and being present in your environment, to your case study of your aunt, you know, maybe if she does a breath work class or takes a few moments to breathe before she goes from one thing to the next, or just starts her day with 3 minutes of just breathing in and out of her nose, it's going to start to change her relationship to her external world. Because when our external world is chaos, oftentimes the first things that we want to do is hold things in, tighten, constrict, and protect ourselves, because it's crazy out there, but we still have to show up. But we can't show up with a big, full chest because we're a little scared. We're a little nervous. We're a little unsure. We're a little worried. We're a little apprehensive about what might happen. And so when we're able to consciously engage the breath and say, that was a stressful situation, let me just take a few minutes to breathe and expand, you're going to feel more expansive in your own life. You're going to feel more in control. And the metal element really likes to be in control. And to the case of your friends as well, and his wife, you know, they were able to say, oh my gosh, this is happening. We're doing all these things. What can we do to shift that? And the metal element is the one element that we all think of as practitioners that can really change, because it can melt and it can be a solid thing to then something that's very soft and transformed into something else. Whereas like the earth element grows things and feeds and, you know, fertilizes to then produce. And so what I want to leave people with in this little tangent that I'm on which is going to lead me to the next feature, is to breathe, to slow down, to really appreciate the lungs as an organ and their ability to expand in all four directions. They go front, they go back, and they go side to side. And if you're not breathing in all those directions, if you're just breathing in the front, then your back body, your ability to move through the world in a graceful way, is going to suffer a little bit because you're just charging so much from moving forward. It's probably been like maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Now, you did my first reading outside of the class that we took together virtually. And one of the things that
survived so fast.
I know. We've both grown. One of the things that you said to me several years ago was my cheekbones and the space under my cheekbones was a little hollow. And I distinctly remember you asking me, are you breathing? Do you feel like you're slowing down? And I just said, no. I mean, I have all this stuff to do. I was starting a business. I went out on my own. You know, it was just like, let me just tell you about all the things that my life is crazy. And you just so simply said to me, well, just breathe. Just find some time to connect to your breath in between all the things that you're doing. So tell us a little bit about how like the cheekbones and the space under the cheekbones can represent what I was talking about before, is that like constriction and pulling in, and how the cheekbones show that resemblance too.
I'm gonna come back to that, because the saying that I was taught is you want to eat the sun and breathe the moon. And well, I think we already talked about eating the sun, but breathing the moon is about breathing in a way where it's like you're kind of getting lost. It's like, you know, if you've meditated or you're in sports or whatever, it's that zone where it's like you kind of aren't really, you're just so focused on what you're doing and you're so internal and you're just so in this space where anything's possible. Mm-hmm. And so it's about breathing deep enough to be present and realize that anything is possible. And that's why I really love the term for breathing, inspiration, like you're breathing in, breathing in, you're getting inspired to take on life. And then expiration, breathing out, you're letting go of everything that's expired. And when you're in this deep way of breathing, in you're breathing the moon, like you're taking in the beauty of your surroundings, you're kind of so present in what you're doing, you're actually going slow enough to realize that anything is possible and you have enough time, energy, money to handle whatever it is that you need to handle in life.
Yeah.
So it's about breathing. It's about breathing really deeply to be present. And that one's a really tricky one to explain. So I hope I did an okay job.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you it with the lungs. So there's the cheekbones up top, which are more about like authority and more about like how you say things and how sharp you can be when you say them.
Mm-hmm.
Down here is more about stress, and it's more about breathing. And it's the money bag area, which is about like, are you going slow enough to enjoy your life? That's really what money bags are about. And so the way I was taught, and if you're listening to this, I'm going to do my best to explain it, but you take your pinky and put it on the edge of your mouth, and then you rest your ring, middle, and pointer finger on the cheekbone and zygomatic arch. And then you take your thumb and you put it back towards the angle of the jaw. And that whole area is the Wei Qi. This whole area right here is the Wei Qi. And that actually shows the immune system and the boundaries and all of that stuff. So when this area gets really hollowed, the way I was taught is that number one, you can see all the things that are going on in the immune system. So that's why when people get sick, they get a little hollow here because the Wei Qi is not very strong. But when there's a hollowness here, it shows that you're living in a lack state. It feels like you're going too fast. You can't breathe. You feel that constriction in the chest and you feel like you're lacking something. You don't have enough time. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough energy. And that's why you can't look at any one facial feature by itself. I was taught this so many times because, okay, let's say you have those tighter nostrils and you still have that here. Okay, that might be more of an emotional thing. Like you might actually just feel that you don't have it, but actually you do have enough. You know what I mean? Like it's that mental thing, beliefs. It's that kind of mindset that you have that's telling you that you don't have enough of something. You have to figure out what it is. And you see this a lot in divorce. Hmm. People get divorced and they feel like they're lacking love. And Lillian used to call them the divorce cheeks, because you get really hollow here because you're losing so much stuff. Versus if you have the wide nostrils, you might actually be spending too much. You might be spending too much time, money, energy, and that actually might really be a thing. And you have to look at that because now your cheeks are starting to hollow. So when you have that hollowness here, life is going too fast. There's a rhythm that is going faster than your body wants to handle. And that's when you'll see that lack state. And that's probably what you were feeling years ago when I said that to you, because you look way better now. And that's why it's so important that everyone finds their own rhythm in life and they don't conform to the rhythm that society says you should go. So when you have that hollowness here in the lower cheek, it just shows that you're going so fast, you feel like you're lacking, you're not enjoying your life. So figure out what it is that you're missing and give it to yourself. And if you see the lines here, the vertical lines here, like, you know, when people smile and you see the lines here, in the lower cheek, those are stress lines, and those go, stress is a kind of a lax state. And if you've ever taken a stress test, it's interesting. You know, they have that test that tells you how stressed you are. It should really be called a grief test. And grief is the element, the emotion related to the metal element. And it's interesting. Did you lose a job? Did you lose a partner? Did you have a death in the family? Did you move? Those are all the questions that show up on the stress test. And those are all about grief, because grief is all about loss. What did you lose? So when this area gets really hollow down here, that's a sign that you've lost something. And actually, grief is one of the things that's been proven that will lower immune function in like nanoseconds. It's crazy. That's why you get sick sometimes when you have like a death in the family or something like that, because, or go through a breakup. It's because like your body's saying you need to process this, and your immune function gets just so compromised. So this area down here is all about, are you enjoying life? Are you living in a way where you feel abundant and not feeling in lack? Because it creates that hollow breathing, that really shallow breathing that actually hollows you out. So the way I was taught, I'm working on this one, I've gotten better. I like what it means when you have the full face. I don't really like how it looks on me. If you're breathing really deeply and slowly, and it's not that kind of wood breathing that, like, you know, you see in some of these breathing classes, and I think that's great for some people, but like it's like the breathing in and out really aggressively, or if you do the fire breathing, like it's not that breathing at all. Like, you know, the fire, the yogic pose where you exhale and you breathe in really aggressively. It's not about that at all. It's about breathing in a way that actually just makes it so you feel like you're filling yourself up, and you're just so in the moment. And actually, that's why it's so important to be out in nature and be around things that are beautiful, because you take it all in and you just kind of get lost in the moment. And when you have enough of those experiences, this gets more full. It's so interesting.
One of the easiest and quickest ways to slow down the nervous system is to breathe in through the nose at a very slow pace and then out through the mouth, and then to hold the breath. It's that 4-7-8 breathing. So you breathe in for 4, you hold for 7, and then you exhale for 8. And it's what Travis was referring to is that Wei Qi level. So the Wei Qi is all about our relationship to our internal and external environment, specifically our defense, that army that we have at the surface to keep ourselves safe from pathogens. It's most simplest form. And so the nose, the nostrils, the skin, those are what's going to be our connection to the Wei Qi, the internal and external environment.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, if you have like open pores that you can really see, that's a sign that the metal element isn't very strong. The Wei Qi is not strong. Your boundaries are off. Sometimes they have boundary issues because the Wei Qi can't close the pores. You have to work on this Wei Qi level a little bit. And one of the things I was taught is that skins are really good for that, because, you know, the skin of what you're eating, like vegetable peels, if like, you know, what do they call it? Chicharrones, like, you know, the pork skins. Any kind of skin is really good. Even the skin, like, don't peel your vegetables, because that helps the Wei Qi level. Also, too, I was taught barks, like, you know, pine and things like that, because they're really strong. And the outer peel of the bark is really good too for boundaries.
Yeah, that's a good lead into some food therapy, but even just the basics of Chinese medicine, the spicy or pungent flavor is the flavor that we use to help to disperse and strengthen and open up the lungs. So you're looking at things like your winter greens and your peppermints, and even like your fennel and your onion and your dill and your anise and cumin, coriander, you know, all those are really going to help to strengthen the lungs and open and disperse the physical congestion, the mental, emotional congestion, and really help then to tonify what we're talking about from personality straight, but also help to tonify the lungs in their own presence. Because when your physical body is strong, you know, your mental, emotional body is strong. And it's always interesting to me when I watch patients and even in conversation here, thinking about it, you know, okay, let's address the mental, emotional body and watch the physical body get stronger, or watch people's senses or tastes or desire for food in particular change as they get mentally and emotionally stronger too.
Yeah, for me, I'm embarrassed to say it because I have such a sweet tooth, but I can tell you, for me, it's like I know when I'm stressed because I crave sweets. It's hilarious because it's just like it's that buffer. It's almost like the damp. My body wants dampness, even though it shouldn't have it, because it wants to create that cushion to make life not feel so hard. And actually, I know that when I'm constantly craving the sweets, I have to slow down.
Yeah, put a little bit of like
That's right.
cayenne on your dates, or have some mint tea with some honey, and eat your sweet thing with it. Pair some of those spicy herbs and spices, pungent, with what you're eating. Like, what's a really popular one is apple and cinnamon. Cinnamon's also really nice and moving and dispersing and opening. So that's a little look on how we can use food therapy medicinally too, in a very easy way. I know that we have this space underneath the nose too, that's also related to the metal element. Can you talk a little bit about that?
The upper lip area above the upper lip is related to the stomach, but metal is all about the spaces on the face because metal is about boundaries. The lungs want to expand as much as they can and then they contract. So they're called white spaces, but if you have more space anywhere on your face, that's considered a metal trait. So if you have a taller forehead, or if you have a high space above your eyebrows, or if you have a longer space below your nose to the upper lip, those are all considered metal traits. Or if you have a really wide face. So that's the metal features. And metal is like one of the trickier elements to see. It's the last one that I learned because water, there's the most features to see. Then wood, there's a lot. And then there's less with fire. And then there's a little bit less with earth. And there's the least with metal. And so all of the extra spaces actually show that there's a little bit more metal accentuating the element. But people with really short philtrums, they can't really be teased too much. Like if you see someone with a short philtrum and you tease them too much, they're going to get really hurt. So if you have that longer philtrum area, you can actually have a little bit more bandwidth for people to make fun of you and poke fun at you. So when you have more of an upper lip line, because this is a little bit more diagnostic and ties into the food stuff we were talking about. So if you have that really refined upper lip, there's the points above. That's actually a sign that you have more of a metallic digestion. You need really high quality foods. You need really refined foods. You can't eat as much of the junky food. So it's like you're going to have more sensitivities there. So that's one of the places that metal shows up, because anywhere metal shows up, there's going to be more refinement in that area. So even going back to the philtrum, it's just like you can probably take a little bit more of the teasing because you're a little bit more refined about it. And you can actually say, okay, like that's not really who I am. I know myself well. And they're just poking fun at me. If it's shorter, you're going to say, oh my God, why are they saying those things to me? That's so mean.
So what's considered like a long philtrum and a short one? Because before, when we were talking, you said to put your finger in your nostril. So is it like one finger? Is it two? Like, how do you?
I don't know. It's very subjective. That's a great question. I like the one finger thing because that's actually quite good. I think right there you have a little bit more than one finger. Yours is long.
Can feel that. Yeah.
You can get the Soon measurement, right? Like the thumb. You have more space between your finger, then it's definitely long. Okay. If it's a little bit shorter, you can't even really put the finger up there. You know what I'm talking about? You'll see it. It's very subjective.
Yeah, I've seen them.
You have to gauge it, but like you'll see it. It's just like, well, that's short. It's not as long as other people's. Yours is very long.
Travis, we've covered a lot about the metal element. There's so much more that we can add. We didn't get even too much into diagnosis, but this was a lot of fun. You provided a lot of information. I know we both were talking before about how we are metal in our own way, and that it is quite a
Totally.
predominant element for both of us. Is there anything that you want to leave our audience with before we close up?
I think there's so much to do with face reading, but this is a Chinese medicine podcast. And when it's used in everyday life, it's called face reading, but when it's used in medicine, it's diagnosis. And so for the people that are practitioners that really want something that they can gauge easily, I'll tell you this. If you see darkness in the cheek area, that's a sign of old grief. And the way I was taught is that the further up on the face it is, like closer to the nose, the newer it is. And if it goes back, that's old grief. But anytime you see darkness in this kind of lower cheek area, that's a sign of grief affecting the lungs. And that's actually, too, one of the places it's different because cancer kind of looks like spider veins, but that's one of the places you'll see cancer. And a lot of the times there is this emotional underlay of old grief with cancer, but really cancer is about other directedness. Other people's needs are more important than your own. And then you do actually start to grieve this life that you didn't live because you don't know how to put yourself first. And metal is all about values, virtues, order, and living within your own integrity. If you see those dark aspects on the cheeks, or if you see the hollowness of the cheeks, It's someone who is either grieving or they're living in a lack state. And that's actually very similar because sometimes feeling like you're living in a lack state makes you grieve a life that you're not yet living. So if you're looking for something really practical and applicable, because there's so much other stuff we didn't talk about, then I can tell you, look at the cheek area. And if you see darkness there, don't worry, you can work with that. But that's just your body's way of telling you that there's some old grief stuck that you haven't processed yet. The body's always talking to you. It really is. And the problem is, it doesn't speak English or whatever language you speak. It speaks through symptoms. So it's like the face is such a valuable tool because it's an entry point into the psyche, but it's also an entry point into what is actually going on with the organs. And you can really see the emotions. And, it's that Chinese medicine thing. The only internal cause of disease in Chinese medicine is your emotions. You're looking for something to really gauge for the metal element. Look in this area because it'll either tell you that someone's living in a lack state, and all you have to ask them is, what is it that you feel like you don't have in your life that you really did wish you have? And it's funny when they say time, or when they say energy, or when they say money. And that's a big one that will show up there because metal wants to feel secure, but it's the most sensitive of the elements. So it needs this kind of internal security. They need to feel like they have whatever it is that they need. And that's actually one of the healthiest things to help people figure out how they can get out of this grief state. What can you be grateful about that you have right now? Because that's the transcendent emotion that transforms grief. And what is it that you feel like you have enough of? And it's so funny because your mind will play so many tricks on you. And if you're metal, you're more mental, you'll think more. And so sometimes it's about actually checking the facts and actually seeing what it is that you don't have and remembering that it's your job and your responsibility to give yourself what it is that you need.
Yeah, that was one little point that I knew you were going to come to is metal oftentimes will go out and be very external, look for those needs, look for those wants outside of themselves to be fulfilled by our environment, by people, by work, by money, but really, how are we going to do those things for ourselves and give good meaning and be able to receive what we've done and reflect and appreciate what we've done and give back to ourselves in a very specific way of acknowledging that for ourselves, not going external and looking for that gratification. You're reminding me when we were in class, one of the things that I see often and that was really fascinating while we're talking about grief is uncried tears. Can you talk about how we can see that on the face?
Yeah, the unshed tears. So it's really interesting. That's a very Chinese thing. And I'm not Chinese. I'm grateful that I have Chinese teachers, but like there's a
Probably
lot
have
of people.
Chinese ancestors.
Who knows? I'd be really curious to know. Anyways, when you see the puffiness under the eyes, it's like it's that fullness under the eyes. And I have that a little bit more often than I'd like. It means one of two things. Number one, it means that there's too much mineralization in your body. It's kind of like if you've ever had a, and it's stressing the kidneys out. So it's like if you ever have like a teapot that you get the film on it, and like you have to rinse it out, that's exactly what's happening. You're having too many minerals and things. So you need to drink more filtered water, distilled water, which is so funny because most people actually need more of the minerals in the spring water and stuff like that. But the other thing it can mean is that you have unshed tears. You have old things that you haven't cried about because you've held it in. And it was so interesting. I did corporate massage a while ago, and I remember there was this girl. She had these really, really puffy underneath aspects underneath her eyes, and she casually mentioned that she was in a car accident. And then she casually mentioned that because I had 10 minutes with her, okay, and she casually mentioned that it was premeditated, which I've never even heard of. Someone was trying to like get the insurance money, and I was like, it was so horrible. And she was a very metallic woman. She was very also wooden, where she could actually just like go, and she was very driven, and she was really put together, and she was really strong. And so I think I asked her, I was like, did you process what you went through, or did you just have to keep going? Because you had to deal with everything. You were on your way to work, and then your husband needed you, and your kids needed you, and all these different things. And she starts bawling. And she just like starts crying. And I watched this actually get softer. And she's like, I haven't. She's just like, you're making me realize. She's like, I haven't processed any of that. I wasn't angry about it because someone attacked me. I wasn't sad about it. I just moved on and I never processed it. I was really fascinated because I watched it lessen. It wasn't completely gone. But one of the things I told her, I was just like, you might want to talk to someone. You might want to do some therapy. You might just need to give yourself the time to actually process what you've been through because you've been strong for so long. And now I think your body's really asking you not to be so strong because you actually have to like take care of yourself and nurture yourself. And she was getting headaches, and every person I worked with in the office had so many headaches. But the headaches was were for me was the anger of the experience and the anger that she had to deal with it and all that stuff. And she hadn't cried about it yet.
Interesting. Travis, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate having you here. You've shared a lot of information that's going to be really useful to our listeners. We are going to follow the seasons and move into the water element, which is associated with winter, the kidneys, and the bladder. And as you mentioned before, that's going to be one of the elements that we can see the most of in the face. I'm looking forward to it because I know you've said that I'm quite the water type. So I'm
Me
looking forward
too.
to that one. All right. We will talk to you then. Thank you again.
Great, thank you.